You're listening to a podcast from Jubilee Church, Farnham. To find out more, visit www.jubilee.church.
Well, great to have you with me today. You're very welcome, and we're here to study the Word of God. But just before I go into the scripture that I want to focus on today, I just want to reflect on the times that we've been sharing together recently. First of all, with Sean, talking about the imaginal cells and how we are wanting to emerge well as a church out of this pandemic. And I don't know about you, but I've been really inspired by the fact that God has clearly spoken to us through the congregation, through our times of prayer, through our ask, seek and knock sessions. And I'm really encouraged by some of the themes that are coming out through those times that we've shared together. And then again, last week, Rick was able to share with us the joy of giving. And as we look into 2021, how we are going to plan as a church, both financially and spiritually. And we've been spending some time thinking about that. And we've been so encouraged, as I'm sure Rick will say on Sunday morning, by how generous his people have been. And I pray that that will be a real blessing to you in your lives and in the lives of your family as you've servantly given and graciously given to the church. So bless you for that. It's great to know that we've got people with us as we strive upon the journey that God has given to us. So moving to this week, I've been inspired, I suppose, to talk about hope. And I've entitled this sermon, Strength for Today and Bright Hope for Tomorrow. Strength for Today and Bright Hope for Tomorrow. And you may, of course, recognise those lyrics are from a great hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness. And as I unpack some scriptures and reflect on some words that I think Jesus has given to me, I pray that this would be a reality for us as we listen to this sermon, as we reflect, as we ponder, as we take time out just to study the Word of God. I pray that this truth, this concept of strength for today and a bright hope for tomorrow would be a reality in our lives. So the main scripture that I want to look at today is Romans chapter 12, verse 12. And I'll just find it here. It says this, "Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep praying." Let me read that one more time to you. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. So this is taken from the book of Romans. And Paul is writing here. He's writing to the early church. It's relatively early on since Jesus ascended into heaven. It's a time when the early church was really growing. There was a huge rate of growth. Miracles were being seen throughout the preaching and the sharing of the gospel. But at the same time, the early Christians and Paul faced great opposition. They were persecuted. They were, you know, finding life difficult because of their faith in Jesus. And the main opposition that they had was from the Roman Empire, who really had the concept or the notion that actually Caesar was Lord and Caesar was in control, not Jesus Christ, not our Heavenly Father being at the centre of it all and being King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And of course, we know that some of the early Christians even laid down their lives to say that Jesus Christ was Lord. And they were persecuted and there were many troubles. And in Romans 12, verses 1 to 2, it says this, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. So Paul here is encouraging the early Christians to really live their lives for Christ, not to be conformed of the ways of the world, not to look at the way that the Romans were doing things. And of course there was, you know, huge confidence in the Romans. We all know, as I'm sure many of you would have studied at school, I know it's a topic that we still teach in secondary school. The Romans, there was confidence in the Romans. They had a huge empire. They had power, they had wealth, they had authority. But yet here, Paul is telling the early Christians not to look to those things, not to put their confidence in the things of the world, or the things that the Roman Empire could offer them, but to put their confidence in Jesus Christ and to live their lives wholeheartedly for him. And really, I think what it's talking about here is the fact that if we live our lives for Jesus, it should transform our lives. Our relationship with Jesus Christ should transform our choices. It should impact our ambitions. And we think that and it should inform how we behave and how we treat people and how we relate with other people. And of course, later on in Romans 12, verse 12, the scripture I read at the beginning, Paul unpacks these three principles. He unpacks the idea of hope, patience, and prayer. Hope, patience, and prayer. Now, hope is the fact that we are saved by grace. There is no power over us because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross. He died so that we could have everlasting life. He died so that we could have hope. He died so that we could live for him and rejoice in him. And you know, we're told in the Bible that there is hope because nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. There's nothing that we can do. There is no circumstance. There is no power or principality that will be able to pull us away from the love of God. And that is the hope in which we live. That is the hope in which we believe. Jesus Christ died for us so that we could have hope. We are God's children. We are adopted into his family. We are welcomed into the very presence of Jesus Christ, our King. And then, of course, it talks about being patient. And we need to be patient, don't we? In these times where we're in a third lockdown, patience is a quality that we all need to have. And of course, what Paul is saying here is he's saying that we need to be patient in the suffering, in the affliction, and that's part of it. And the fact that Paul is telling the early Christians this tells us that God has never promised to take away our troubles, to take away our tribulations, to take away all the things in this world that will cause us pain and anguish. But he's encouraging us to be patient, to persevere, to keep on striving in the ways that God would have us. I love this quote from Napoleon Bonaparte, the French statesman and military leader. He said this, "A leader is a dealer of hope." A dealer of hope. Now we are all leaders in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has set our feet upon a rock and he has established us. And he has therefore made us leaders in our homes, in our jobs, in our families. We are leaders as a result of what Jesus Christ did for us. And we are to be leaders of hope. As a result of what Jesus Christ did on the cross for us, we are to be leaders of hope. And this world needs hope, doesn't it, right now? I'm sure you'll agree with me in saying that there is a lot of hopelessness out there. Hopelessness. People are misguided. People are walking blind. People are unsure of their tomorrows because of the hopelessness that is out there. There is such hopelessness. But we, as followers of Jesus Christ, have hope. We have strength for today and hope for tomorrow. There was a survey that was done that asked people about why they felt hopeless. And these are some of the reasons that they gave. They said that they felt alone or abandoned. And I should say this was pre-pandemic. But isn't that very true now of people? They feel alone, abandoned, isolated. With the circumstances that we're in, having to isolate, having to stay in our homes, not meet physically with our friends, people feel abandoned and alone. People also said about why they feel hopeless was because of a sense of feeling out of control. Maybe they felt hopeless because of a grieving or a loss that they were facing. Some people said that they felt hopeless because of shame and guilt that they faced in their lives. Some people felt hopeless because of the wounds and the hurts of their past and their history. Some felt hopeless because they felt that fear was gripping them. And others felt hopeless because of a lack of purpose. And they sensed that, what was the point? They didn't understand what the point was. Perhaps you, even as a Christian or as a non-Christian, can identify with one of those reasons for hopelessness. But if I may be so bold as to speak into your life today and say that you can have strength for today and hope for tomorrow because of Jesus Christ. Now, one of the reasons I think that people can feel hopeless as well is because of that lack of honesty that we have in our culture here in the UK. This sense of not being honest with people. And of course, we can all fall into that trap of asking that question, how are you? Oh, I'm fine, thanks. How are you? And of course, the emptiness of those phrases, the emptiness of those words can sometimes really strike home. And one of the things that I think we're going to want to do and we're encouraging us to do is to really be honest with each other and to think about these three things and, you know, give each other hope and encourage each other and remind each other to be patient and pray together so that we can be true and real with each other. Because of course, many of us, I'm sure, you know, like me, you probably get a report on your phone each week that tells you how much time you spent online. And, you know, as a result of the pandemic, that's increased. And of course, that can feed into a false sense of life. We all know the traps of social media and how they can portray an image of a perfect life, a life that is, you know, full of success or full of fun times or full of joy. But the reality is that's just a small snippet of that person's life. And I think as a culture that has been established in our society where we're not true, we're not honest with each other. And, you know, even songs can feed this idea of being endlessly joyful. Let me sing a couple to you. Here we are. Don't worry, be happy. We've heard that one, haven't we? What about this one? Always look on the bright side of life. Ba-dum, 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 ba-dum. And of course, these are great songs, don't get me wrong. And they, you know, they're great for encouraging us. And many of us will have our kind of happy songs that we might go to. But sometimes the way of this world would want us to believe that life is a bed of roses. Life is, you know, all about ups and seeking that next thrill and that next moment of excitement. But despite the positivity of these songs, that's not the reality of life. And one of the reasons I love the book of Romans is because Paul is so honest. He is so honest to his fellow Christians. He is being honest because he's telling them to be patient in affliction. He's telling them to keep going. Despite circumstances are difficult, despite the fact that there is affliction, despite the fact that they are facing troubles, he's encouraging them to persevere and keep going with Christ. It really saddens me that some people give up in their faith in God as a result of perhaps persecution or something going wrong. And perhaps they have got a false understanding of this idea that a relationship with God is about having everything taken away and, you know, God will take away all the pain, all of the suffering. And of course, that will happen one day when we are ultimately with him in heaven. But here on earth, this is a fallen earth and there will be pain and suffering. And that is something that we have to live with. And that isn't what faith is about. You know, we're really told throughout the scriptures that actually God will be with us in the dark times. God will be with us in the valleys. As we walk through the shadow of death, we are told not to fear because God will be with us. In John 16:33, it says, "In this world we will know pain and suffering, but take heart, for I have overcome the world." John 16:33, "In this world you will know suffering and pain, but take heart, for I have overcome the world." Isn't that encouraging? It's so encouraging. Another quote, T.D. Jakes, who's a preacher in America, says this, "A big clue that suffering is in the strategy and structure of God himself is exemplified by the very emblem of our faith. The cross." You know, Jesus himself knew what it was like to suffer. As he carried that cross, it would have dug deep into him. It would have been painful. He knew the suffering of betrayal. He knew what it was like to suffer. He knew how to be let down by the very people who had followed him faithfully for 3 years. He knew what it was like to feel pain and suffering. But in Jesus Christ, we can find hope. We can find a truth that he is going to be with us despite all things. Going back to Romans 12, verse 12, but this time a different translation, the Passion Translation, it says this, "Let this hope burst forth within you, releasing a continuous joy. Don't give up in a time of trouble, but commune with God at all times." Let this hope burst forth within us, releasing joy, continuous joy, a joy that comes from deep within our heart. And don't give up in a time of trouble, but commune with God at all times. Live with him, be with him, walk with him, breathe with him, know him by your side in times of trouble. Again, going to a part of history that we teach students at school, I'm a teacher for those of you who don't know, we teach about the Holocaust and the terrible affliction that the Jews faced as a result of being simply Jews. And there's this 16-year-old girl, she was a ballerina, living in 1944, and she was in the concentration camp of Auschwitz. And she wrote a book. Both of her parents were executed. She faced huge troubles and trials in her life. And she kind of wrote this book called The Choice. And it's got a subtitle called this, "Even in Hell, Hope Can Flower." Even in hell, hope can flower. We've had some pictures, some messages from God, because we as a church believe that God talks to us. We believe he's alive and he communicates with us. And we've had this vision of a fire sweeping across a land, but yet out of that fire, there comes new life. And I think Rick's going to share some pictures with you on Sunday about a fern, I think it is, that's come out of this stump which has been burnt through. And isn't that true? And isn't it encouraging that even in huge affliction, the human soul, Edith Eger, can, you know, write the title, "Even in Hell, Hope Can Flower." Do you know, Jesus Christ is our hope. his strength for today and hope for tomorrow. Hope versus optimism. I've kind of already talked about this, and I just want to quote Hebrews chapter 6, verses 19. It says this: "The certain hope of being saved is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls." Quick story for you. Chrissy and I and our children were in Anzhi, I think it must have been two summers ago, and we hired a boat. And actually, I was a little bit apprehensive about this. I'm not a huge sailor, haven't got a huge amount of experience with regards to sailing, never did it as a child with my family. But we wanted to go out. It was a gloriously sunny day, so we went out on this boat. And it was such a warm day, the water was so enticing that we wanted to go in and swim. But we were a bit apprehensive about both Chrissy and I and the kids diving into the water, because we were like, oh, what will happen to the boat? And obviously, you know, we'd be in big trouble if something were to happen to the boat. And so as a result, we didn't both go out of the boat at the same time. One of us stayed in the boat to kind of make sure that we could keep it safe. And, you know, this is talking about an anchor. And of course, if this boat had an anchor, now it wasn't a very big boat, so it probably didn't need an anchor. And we were on a lake, so the tides weren't particularly strong. But had we have been on the sea, and there were waves crashing against the sea, we would have needed to have put an anchor down to have known that that boat would have stayed put. And that's a little bit like our lives, isn't it? We need to put an anchor down. We need to put our trust and our faith in Jesus, the rock of our salvation. Because if we don't, when the waves come crashing in, when the storm approaches, we will be blown off course. We will be taken away from where we need to be. We need to put our anchor down so that we can stand firm. I've been thinking a lot recently in my times of worship as I've been listening to songs about the parable of the wise man who builds his house upon a rock. And it's a similar thing, isn't it, about putting an anchor down, building our lives upon truths, building our lives upon the hope of Jesus Christ. And we're encouraged to do that, aren't we? To build our lives upon the rock of our salvation. So let's do that. Let's put our anchor down. When we put our hope in the wrong things, we'll be blown off course, we'll be distracted, we'll be discouraged, we'll feel hopeless. But if we put our rock, if we put our trust in Jesus, our rock, then he will encourage us. Let's be a people of worship, not worry. Let's be a people of prayer, not panic. And of course, the third part of Romans 12, verse 12 is about prayer. And we are to be a prayerful people. We're encouraged to pray and worship, not worry and panic. There are over 7,000 promises in the Bible, and not one of them is a lie. Not one of them can be untrue, because the gospel, the words of Jesus Christ, the Bible are 100% truth. They are unequivocally truthful. There is no doubt that every single one of those truths is yes and amen. And so let's believe in these promises. Let's put our trust in these promises. Let's put our anchor down in these promises so that we can be held strong and steadfast. Isaiah 42 verse 3 says this: "Do not fear. You are mine. When you walk through fire, you will not be burned." You will not be burned. Do you know, I want to encourage us this week, perhaps after listening to this sermon, find a song that resonates with you. Not the "Don't Worry, Be Happy" or "Always Look on the Bright Side of Life," but a song that contains scripture, a song that contains truths, a song that will speak directly into your heart, into your soul, and into your mind. And as you listen to these worship songs that contain scriptures, let them be embedded. let them metaphorically be putting an anchor down into your life, so that when the storms come, when the seas rage, when the rains come down and they lash upon you, you will be held steadfast. You will be able to stand firm in the truth and the knowledge that Jesus is your hope. Jesus is your salvation, and he is the rock upon which we build our lives. So find some songs. I'm going to ask Chrissy to put a song on which talks about strength for today and hope for tomorrow. It's Not Great Is Thy Faithfulness. I can't remember who it's by now, but it's almost a prophetic song. And I'd encourage you to listen to that sometime this week. I'll ask her to put it on the Spotify list. And it sings, "You are strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow." And let's believe those. You might want to use that song. You might want to use a different song. Sing it in the shower. Pump it up in your car. Write it down. Create some sort of, picture using the scriptures. Whatever it is that you want to do. Get those words really deep into your heart so that you can stand for strength for today and hope for tomorrow. Let me just read Romans 12:12 again to you. Thank you, Jesus. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are our strength, that you are the solid rock upon which we build our lives. Just like the analogy of the anchor being put down in a boat, which is an active thing, it's a decisive thing. Father, we want to lower our anchors down, Lord, into your truths, into your word, into your promises, so that we would stay steadfast and strong. Father, we need your strength at this time. In lockdown 3, many of us are feeling hopeless. There is a world out there of hopeless people, and we need to be bringers of hope, deliverers of hope. We need to show them and explain to them that despite life's difficulties, despite life's tribulations and trials, we can stand firm because of who you are and what you've done in our lives. Father, we pray that this would be a reality for each of us, that this would be a reality for us as a church, that it would be a real truth that we can look back on in years to come and say, yes, God was with us in those times. God was with me in those times. God was with my family in those times of 2020 and 2021. And he gave me strength for those times. And hallelujah, I've got a bright hope for tomorrow because of Jesus Christ. Father, we glorify you. We magnify you. We lift up your name. We thank you for these words. We thank you for these truths that you have given us through Paul as he spoke to the early Christians. Father, we glorify you. We praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.